This is The Blue Ghost Mystery by John Blaine, read by Tom Weiss. Chapter 1. A Spooky Invitation. Rick Brandt moved with infinite care. With one hand, he adjusted the focus of his microscope, while with the other, he brought the sharp glass tip of the pipette into view. He released his thumb for a fraction of a second and let a drop of blue fluid flow into the field of view. The microscopic monster shot out, its defensive weapons shuddered, and was still. For a moment, Rick sat back, inspected his work, then sat back with a sigh. Staining microscopic animals was delicate work, but this specimen had turned out perfectly. At the instant the stain hit the animal, it had shot out its trichocyst, or stinging hairs. Rick hoped they would photograph. He needed a good picture for the science project on which he was working. To rest his eyes, he turned in his chair and looked out over the broad horizon of the Atlantic Ocean. It was a calm day, and the calmness was reflected in the leisurely pace of life on Spindrift Island. The famous island off the New Jersey coast, home of the Spindrift Scientific Foundation, had not always been so peaceful, Rick thought. Many scientific experiments of world importance had taken place, or had begun, in the long, low, gray laboratory buildings on the southeast corner of the island. Most recently, Rick Brandt and his pal Donald Scott, nicknamed Scotty, had taken part in an expedition to the Sulu Sea. The quiet scientific survey of human and animal life in the area had begun on Spindrift Island, but had ended in a bloody fight on another island in a far corner of the globe, as told in The Pirates of Shot. Now, though, all was serene. The scientists were at work on reports or teaching summer sessions at universities. No major experiments were in progress, and no expeditions were being planned. Rick grinned. If he came right down to it, one reason for the peace and quiet was the absence of his sister, Barbara. Barbie, a year his junior, was visiting with the Millers, one of the island's scientific families at their ancestral home in Virginia. Barbie and Jan Miller had a way of making life somewhat frenzied, or at least less quiet than at present. The sound of a fast-moving motorboat intruded on the quiet, and Rick cocked an ear. It was one of the Spindrift boats, judging by the sound. That meant Scotty was returning from the mainland with the groceries and the mail. Rick stood up and stretched luxuriously. He decided to walk down to the cove and meet Scotty. He could help carry the groceries. Besides, he hoped that Scotty would have a package for him from a biological supply house. Rick's interest in microscopy had begun with Barbie's present of a complete microscope set. It was a beauty with magnifications up to 300 times. It had its own light source, a substage illuminator, and even an atomic energy stage, which was actually a device for viewing the scintillations caused when radioactivity hit a sulfide screen. Barbie's gift was far more than a toy, and Rick promptly put it to work on a science project in which he planned to compare the life cycles of two common microscopic animals, the paramecium and a rotifer. His laboratory was a table on the front porch of the big Brandt house on Spindrift Island because the ocean breeze made it a comfortable place to work, and because Barbie's absence meant the porch wasn't cluttered with half the female population of Whiteside High School. As Rick came within sight of the cove, Scotty was already docking. The husky ex-Marine threw a hitch over the dock cleat and jumped to the pier, waving excitedly as he saw Rick. "Hey, wait until you see what I have." Rick let his long legs carry him swiftly to meet the other boy. When Scotty got excited, something unusual was up. He called, "What is it?" Scotty yelled, "We're going ghost hunting." Rick stopped in his tracks. He waited until Scotty was within normal voice range. "Come on into the house," he invited. "We'll get you some aspirin and put a wet towel on your head. The sun's got you, that's all." The dark-haired boy shook his head vehemently. Don't jump at conclusions in this heat, Brother Brandt. You'll get overheated. Just listen to what's in this letter. Rick squinted against the glare. Who's it from? Barbie and Jan. Rick groaned. Don't you know Barbie's been gone on ghosts ever since she started watching that TV program on Sunday nights? This is different, Scotty insisted. But since you're such a skeptic, you can wait until we've hauled in the food. Come on, scientists. And unless you keep an open mind until you hear the evidence, we'll take your junior experimenter badge away. Rick had to grin. There was justice in his pal's comment. Okay, we'll play it your way. But the evidence had better be good. Mrs. Brandt was in the kitchen when the boys arrived with the bags of groceries Scotty had brought. She recognized her daughter's handwriting immediately and pointed to the letter sticking out of Scotty's shirt pocket. What's the news in Virginia? Barbie found a haunted house, Rick said with a grin. Scotty's all excited. He's handing out bum dope, as usual, Scotty added. He hasn't even read the letter. He grinned widely. But I have, and he'll eat his words before we're through. Rick fielded a can of tomatoes Scotty tossed at him and put it on the canned goods shelf. Never had indigestion from eating my words yet. This time, Scotty said happily, we'll paint them on an oak plank before you start eating. Mrs. Brandt smiled. Hurry up and get those bundles unpacked, you two. I want to hear about this mysterious business. In a short time, the three of them had stowed the week's supply of food, and Mrs. Brandt produced fresh donuts and cold milk. Now, she said, suppose you read the letter, Scotty. Dr. Harton Brandt, Rick's dad and head of the Island Scientific Foundation, came into the kitchen in time to hear the last remark. Can I listen too, he asked, with milk and donuts to help, of course. Rick personally poured the milk for his father and added donuts to the plate just to save time. He couldn't admit it to Scotty, of course, but he was plenty curious in spite of his skepticism. He knew Scotty and his pal wouldn't get excited over some silly business that Barbie might write about. Scotty produced a letter. It's addressed to both Rick and me, he began, and it's from both Barbie and Jan. Shall I read? Go on, Rick said impatiently, and had to bear Scotty's knowing grin. Scotty knew that Rick's bump of curiosity was the largest thing he owned. Okay, it starts with Dear Rick and Scotty. Interesting, Rick said. Unusual. Uh-huh. Quiet, please. It goes on. You must come at once, both of you, because we have a ghost here. I know Rick will think I'm silly, but it's true. And Jan put in a sentence in her own handwriting at this point that says, Barbie's right. It's not only true, it's unbelievable. Scotty continued. We heard about the ghost first thing we arrived from Mrs. Belsley, the Miller's tenant farmer. Of course, we didn't believe it, but last night we went to a picnic at the old mine campground, and we saw it too. Honestly, we're both still lumpy with goose pimples. It was just ghastly, but it was kind of romantic too. If Dr. and Mrs. Miller hadn't been along, I don't think we'd have believed we had really experienced such a thing. But they saw it too, and Dr. Miller says he has never heard of anything like it. Rick waited for more, scarcely breathing for fear of missing a word. So you had better come right away, Scotty went on. You can fly down and land right at the Miller's. We have shown on the map where to land, and we will put out white towels to make a panel so you can see us from the air. Please hurry, Barbie and Jan. Sounds pretty urgent, Hartson Brandt said with interest. Anything else? Yes, sir. There's a postscript from Dr. Miller. He says the girls were pretty excited when they wrote the above, and with excellent reason. Apparently, this apparition appears fairly often. A number of town folk have seen it. I don't know what you can do unless your ingenuity can produce a super spook catcher, but you will enjoy tackling this problem. It is worthy of your best effort. Mrs. Miller and I heartily endorse the girls' invitation. Rick took a deep breath. I'll eat my words, he agreed. Even if you inscribed them in deathless bronze, as the poet says. How about that, Dad? Dr. Miller isn't the excitable type, but he was pretty strong in his statements. The scientist, who looked like an older version of his tall son, nodded agreement and stoked his pipe thoughtfully. The letter was obviously written in haste, because neither the girls nor Walter took time for a description. What about it? Think you'll go? Scotty spoke emphatically. I'm going, but I'm not sure Rick can get his nose out of that microscope.
No need, Rick said, grinning. I'll just take it with me. Besides, I might pick up a new species or two in Virginia.
Scotty sighed. Ever since you got that mic from Barbie, we've seen practically nothing of you but the top of your head. Rick's mother spoke up. I agree with Scotty, Rick. I know how anxious you are to do a good job in your project, but you've been at it for weeks now. Your eyes need a rest, even if the rest of you doesn't.
Don't worry, Mom, Rick said. After that endorsement from Dr. Miller, chains couldn't keep me from going to Virginia. After all, what's a collection of microscopic animals compared to a genuine 100% dyed-in-the-ectoplasm spook?